You're tuned into La Onda Bajita on KPFA, cruising with you through Aztlan on this Friday night. And up next, we have Kashmir Speaks, a monthly segment reporting on the most densely militarized land on Earth, Kashmir. I'm Tara Darabji, and in Kashmir from 1989 to 2011, there have been 8,000 disappearances and 70,000 deaths of Kashmiris resulting from the Indian occupation. Tonight, we'll be looking at a recent court decision that is forcing the police in Kashmir to reopen the 22-year-old gang rape case that took place in the Kupwara district of Kashmir. 36 women were allegedly raped by the Indian Army in Kashmir. To date, there have been no convictions. And after 22 years, the victims are again taking their plea back to the court, which is requiring further investigation. To discuss the court decision, we'll be joined by Huma Dar. She's a lecturer in the Asian American and Asian Diaspora Study Program of Ethnic Studies at UC Berkeley. We'll be back with all this and more after a short music break.
Chani ravam rat do hob karyo yur valo mai chani ravam rat do hob karyo yur valo shai chani
Kashmir Speaks on La Onda Bajita. I'm Tara Darabji, cruising with you on this Friday night, and we have with us on the line Huma Dar. She's a lecturer in the Asian American and Asian Diaspora Studies Program of Ethnic Studies at UC Berkeley. Tonight, we'll be looking at the recent court decision that is forcing the police in Kashmir to reopen a 22-year-old rape case that took place in the Kupwara district in Kashmir. Huma Dar, thank you so much for joining us on Kashmir Speaks.
Tara, thank you so much for having me on your show.
And Huma Dar, this is a horrific sort of gang rape case that took place 22 years ago in Kashmir in the Kupwara district. When did you first hear about the massive rape?
Let me cite a poem which will describe maybe something that's hard to put into words, the kind of scar it has left on Kashmiri psyche, what it symbolizes for the Kashmiris and Indian occupied Kashmir, and what I hope it would symbolize for all humanity that is oppressed. So the poem is by a journalist called Najib Mubarki, and its name is Kunnan Poshpura. Kunnan Poshpura, there's a flower in your name. Kunnan Poshpura, just as beautiful, Kunnan Poshpura, as Kashmiri hatred and impotence. Kunnan Poshpura, the men herded, the women lined up, Kunnan Poshpura. So I think it stands as an epitome of the helplessness, of impotence, and as of real hatred that the Kashmiris have for this most densest, brutal, militarized occupation that we have suffered from, especially during the last 22 years. Although the occupation has been there since October 26, 1947, but these last 22 years since some of the freedom fighters actually had picked up the gun, and there were some guerrilla fighters in the scene. The kind of oppression that India has put Kashmiris through is absolutely horrific. It might have very few parallels in the world. So this rape case, our audience right now remember, in December 2012, when there was the rape case of a poor, a young Delhiite girl, everyone was up in the arms. Everyone was on the streets. There was a judicial commission established. Laws have been changed since then. However, because these particular rapes and this particular Kunnan Poshpura rape is, let me stress, it's not the only instance of rapes that have happened in Kashmir under the Indian occupation. But for this particular one, or for anyone, there has never been a massive protest in any part of India. There has never been a movement from the rest of India to ask for reparations, justice, the day in the court for these people who have suffered.
And, after 22 years, the victims, the alleged victims of the crimes, have continued to bring forth their petitions into the court and persevere. What's the significance of the court continuing with the investigation now, 22 years later?
It's actually a very long and convoluted history, as you can imagine, in 22 years. So even the number is debated. In some instances, it's cited to be 34. In some instances, it's supposed to be 40. In some instances, it was more than 54. But the facts, and it depends, of course, this difference depends on the legal definition of rape in India, which is very restricted. It's only penile vaginal contact. It doesn't include any other kind of penetration or by any other object, and doesn't include the rape of men. But it's also because some women might have redacted their allegations due to family or societal pressure. And some, at this point, five women are dead. The girls and women who were raped that night ranged in age from 13 years, a young teenager, to an 80-year-old grandmother. And amongst the victims, the survivors, I would actually call them, who have now just recently on June 22nd, 2013, held a press conference in Kashmir for the very first time. They were telling these, just incredible stories that at least 18 out of the 40 victims that they were talking about had to have their uterus removed because of this rape. I mean, you can imagine what kind of just this the violence of this gang rape that was involved. Women were raped in front of their daughters, in front of their granddaughters, children, you know, little girls were raped in front of their mothers. So it just the kind of sadism that was involved, I think, is remarkable. A child, you know, pregnant women were raped. So one of the pregnant women gave birth just about 4 days after the rape, and her child had her the kid had arms that were fractured. So you know, this is a very remarkable case, and the fact that it was a rape by Indian military occupying illegally a whole people. And it's kind of been buried, you know, at that point in 1991 and Asian Human Rights Commission, and in 1992, the U.S. Department of State findings did report that there was overwhelming evidence of the rapes having taken place, but Indian government completely poo-pooed the whole thing. And so, initially, you know, they weren't even taken. So, you know, these are two villages, not very economically, financially well-to-do. But in spite of that, they went together to the authorities, to the police, to try to register their case. They faced a lot of difficulties. And they weren't even allowed to have the medical tests done until 3 to 4 weeks after the rapes. And even though those medical findings did completely verify the stories of the women, they were, you know, the virgin, the unmarried women had their hymens, you know, broken, and their chest, their breasts, their abdomens were scratched, and there were bite marks on them. Yet one of the commissions, actually the last commission that was sent by the Indian government at the request of the alleged perpetrators, the Indian Army, it was headed by Mr. Bubli George Verghese, who was then the head of the Press Council of India. And he said that, you know, such delayed medical examination proves nothing. Well, it was delayed because of their lacks. It wasn't because of the survivors, the victims' fault. And then he went on saying that such medical findings were typical amongst villages. And I'm literally citing Mr. Verghese's words verbatim. And it shows the kind of horrible racism, horrible denigration, dehumanization that Kashmiris at large and Kashmiri villages in particular have faced at the hands of the Indian occupying apparatus. He also called it a well-concocted bundle of fabricated lies. And again, these are his words. And I would, you know, maybe just cite Shakespeare, that lady doth protest too much. Well concocted, okay, bundle of fabricated and then again lies. He apparently was there. It's just recently come up in the press conference on June 22nd that Mr. Verghese was in Kashmir for just 9 days. And not only that, but he actually never ever visited the villages. Now, this sounds incredible to you and I, right? A, what in the world is a head of a press council doing investigating rape? Why not a women's council? Why not a women's group? Why not the women parliamentarians? Why not the women rights groups that flourish and are abundant in India? You know, what about doctors? What about psychologists? No, none of that. They sent two elderly guys. Both of them were, you know, journalists. And they never visited the women. That's it. So they sat in the army headquarters at Baramula. So, you know, it's like sitting with the alleged perpetrators in their, you know, comfortable drinking tea and eating good meals, and writing their report that this is just a well-concocted bundle of lies. So you can imagine how infuriating such this discourse has been. But kudos to those women. They've actually never given up. The case, as you know, I would like to point out, has remained open. It was never really closed, even though people were given the impression that it has been closed. And this particular, you know, this news, it really is news to us. It came out only in May 18th of 2013, that the case is still open. In fact, there was a 50-member group of Kashmiri women who filed a PIL, a public interest legislation, against to have this case be reopened and looked into. And they were being represented by Parvez Imroz, who's a very well-known, well-respected lawyer in Kashmir. But the High Court actually dismissed the PIL on the grounds that it was premature to intervene. And again, these are, I'm citing verbatim, premature to intervene. If you can imagine, 22 years and 4 months are not long enough to give justice to two villages full of women who've all been raped. And it was premature to intervene because the case was still technically open.
And Humadar, you've talked a lot about the courage of these women to bring forward this case. And all over the world, there really is a huge stigma around rape. Of course, here in the United States, we had the recent case in Stebbinville where we, you know, the media coverage really blamed the victim. And talk to us a little bit about not just the trauma and the psychic and emotional damage that these women have gone through, but talk to us about also the social stigma around rape that these women have faced and fought against in bringing forth the case.
Well, Tara, as you've very accurately contextualized, there is universally, there is stigma against rape. So Kashmiris, Kashmiri Muslims are obviously not unique in that. But given that, you know, be that as it may, I think those women have really shown remarkable courage, just immense dignity in the way they have still carried on this struggle for justice. Of course, there has been stigma against them. They were in the last 22 years. There have been, reports about them not being able to marry their women outside into other villages, because these two villages suffer from that particular stigma, or of children dropping out of school early because they couldn't bear the taunts of fellow students or class bullies who would taunt them for being from villages where all the women had been raped. Have also been instances of many men from these villages taking up arms, becoming guerrilla freedom fighters, precisely because they just couldn't take it. I mean, it was too much for them. So there has been stigma in that sense, but I would also like to contextualize it further by saying that the fact that all Kashmiris remember that instance, talk about it, and talk about it with reverence for the women. There was a film made by Shilpi Gupta, who won the Sundance Student Award competition, where she shows an elderly man who, talking about these women, get tears in his eyes, and he says, "These are our heroes. They have suffered a lot because of the oppressor, because of the zalim," which is an Urdu Kashmiri word for oppressor. And so just like we honor and revere our martyrs, our warriors, our leaders, in the very same way, perhaps even more so, we are honoring these women as well. They are innocent. It was not their fault. And just to, you know, give even more context, when this incident happened in 1991, that was also the time when all the new stories about the Bosnian rape camps had come out. And there was a fatwa issued by an imam from Al Azhar, which is one of the the largest seminary in the Muslim world, and the fatwa stated that the children born of these gang rapes are innocent, they're pure, and the women are innocent and pure, and there is to be no blame ascribed to them. So there's that context as well. But of course, human beings as we are, and we know, you know, as in the US, there is that stigma, which is, of course, obviously we know the reason. That's why rape survivors have this right to have their pictures, to have their names anonymous and private.
We're talking with Huma Dar. She's a lecturer at UC Berkeley, and we're discussing the massive gang rapes that took place 22 years ago in Kashmir and the recent continuation of the investigation there. And Huma Dar, we're almost out of time on Kashmir Speaks. Can you, in our last few minutes, share with us another poem?
This particular poem is by a young college student called Muhammad Faisal, and it's called To Salman Khurshid. Let me give you a little background of who is this person, Salman Khurshid. Salman Khurshid is the exterior minister for the Indian government, and he visited Kashmir in June, just last month. While he was there, he confessed that he was ashamed. And again, let me actually cite him. He said, "I'm ashamed that it happened in my country." And furthermore, he said that it was a war. In war, there is suffering. But post-war, there must be forgiveness. And so in a way, he actually admitted to something that the Indian government has had yet to confess, that it is a war. It is a war on the Kashmiri people. It's not the so-called domestic matter, which is India's line whenever it's asked about the situation in Kashmir. So this poem is to Salman Khurshid. He starts off by saying, "Gaukadal massacre happens in wars. Forget it. Kupwara massacre happens in wars, forget it. Chota Bazaar massacre happens in wars, forget it. Howell massacre happens in wars, forget it. Sobor massacre happens in wars, forget it. Bij Behara massacre happens in wars, forget it. Handwara massacre happens in wars, forget it. Kulgam massacre happens in wars, forget it. Chitti Singhpura massacre happens in wars, forget it. Lal Chowk massacre happens in wars, forget it. Zakura massacre happens in wars, forget it. Tangpura massacre happens in wars, forget it. Brakpura massacre happens in wars, forget it. Dudipura massacre happens in wars, forget it. Kunan Poshpura, sorry, forget it. Mubina Ghani, sorry, forget it. Lal Bazar rape, sorry, forget it. Dari village rape, sorry, forget it. Laura Jane rape, sorry, forget it. Shopian rape, sorry, forget it. Kazigund rape, sorry, forget it. Military occupation, saving you from cross-border terrorism. Thousands of camps, securing you from terrorists. Bullets for protesters, agitational terrorists. Mass graves, not yours. Disappearances, went across, not with us. House arrested leaders, law and order situation. Jailing the youth, maintaining law and order. Freedom of expression, sure, India is a democracy. We want right to self-determination. Put this bastard in jail. Freedom of protests, sure, India is a democracy. Go, India, go back. Seize the country. World, listen to our cries. This is all but a lie. We were never a part of you. Kashmir is an atut ang of India. We want to be a country. Kashmir cannot survive on its own. Give us our own resources back. That matter will be taken up soon. Stop destroying our ecology. This is a religious pilgrimage. But this is a pillage. The yatra will go on. I want to be free. I am a Kashmiri. Shoot him and let us be. For how long will you kill us? As long as you forget, we will not forget. Just kill this bastard. Have you no shame? Let's play another game. We want freedom. You want jobs? Remembrance is resistance. Resistance is terrorism. But you resisted the British. That's another story.
The voice of Huma Dar. You're tuned into Kashmir Speaks, reporting on the most densely militarized land on earth, Kashmir. Huma Dar, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Tara, once again. This was important to get out, as the women want their stories to be out. They want justice to be delivered. They want the occupation to be dismantled. Thank you for giving me this chance.
And stay tuned. We'll be back after a short music break.